presence. Amen. It's a reality in our lives, and we're just so blessed, amen, to know that He is alive. Amen. Well, once again, we're going to talk this evening about our Christian hope. This morning, I laid the foundation for this message. And if you were not here this morning, just listen to it on the internet and you'll get the introductory to what we're talking about here this evening. Because tonight we're going to go over some different points that I feel that are aspects about our Christian hope as believers. Amen. And I do appreciate your worship tonight. What a wonderful presence that is here. And you know, when I come to church and we worship, it's just good to feel the presence of the Lord. And church, I'm going to be honest with you, I have traveled and it's safe to say I never really took time to count. I've been in hundreds of different holiness churches. You don't always feel His presence everywhere. I mean, I do individually, but you can tell there's some places that are just not accustomed to it. And we ought to be honored by that God comes by and blesses us. And I know that's because of the lives that you live. It's because of your worship, your faithfulness to the house of the Lord. Amen. So this morning we talked about a theology of hope. And how important it is that we have a proper theology when it comes to this. Hope is an essential part of our gospel message. Amen. When we were preaching to this world, and there's many aspects of our salvation, we talk about being forgiven, we talk about all these different things, but when we look at this world, we also need to ask them, do you have any hope? Do you have any hope? And if they were to answer to you in an honest fashion, they would tell you, in reality, the ones that I have met that are honest sinners. And you say, that kind of sounds like an oxymoron, brother. What do you mean, an honest sinner? One that really is starting to understand their condition. They will tell you, look, I am a hopeless person. That sin is a miserable place. That they do not have access to what we have access to once you have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I love tonight the songs that we sang. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Because He lives, we have such a blessed hope. We established this morning that our hope is not something that is flimsy. It's not something that is weak. It is something that is anchored beyond the veil in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. Amen. And so tonight what I want to do, that I'm going to get over, Lord willing, 10 different aspects of our Christian hope. Now, this by no means am I exhausting our Christian hope. I'm sure some of you could go in the Bible and dig up another point or two, and that would be fine. I would add it right to the message. But nevertheless, it's a little late notice if you want to do that, so just do it later if you don't mind. But tonight, I just want to go over these 10 different aspects of Christian hope, and that may just be our title, 10 aspects of Christian hope here this evening. Number one here this evening, we have to understand this, that our Christian hope comes from God. Now that seems like a very simple thought when I say that, but nevertheless it is very profound within its nature. It is absolutely essential to realize that we are dealing with hope that is outside of us. What I mean by that is it is bigger than Derek Jones, and thank God for that. It is bigger than anybody else that is in this room. Our hope is outside of us. It's not on my ability. It's not on my in the sense of my strength and all these different things, because we have to understand that our hope is in something that is so steadfast, so supernatural, that it is outside of us. It is something that is objective and not subjective. It is not subject to change. What I mean by that is you will wake up tomorrow morning and God will be just as faithful and sure, and your hope can just be just as radiant on a Monday morning, regardless of how you feel physically. Your hope can be just as radiant on a Monday morning than what it is on a Sunday when you're in the presence of the Lord among the saints. It is something that is objective. It is unchanging. It is steadfast. When people come to us as Christians and they ask us about our hope, we are not giving them our invention. We are not telling them the way that we think it ought to turn out. We're not coming up with our own scheme, our own plan for the future. We have one that is given to us. Our pattern of Christian hope is not the invention of a man. Brother Glenn didn't create this. I didn't create this. And I could go around this room. You didn't invent this Christian hope. You didn't come up with this design or its scheme. You didn't do that. This is the invention invention of God Almighty. It is His hope that He has given to us. And it's once again important that our hope comes from God, and it's very essential at the very outset to make that clear. It is not something that Derek Jones is doing that gave me this hope. It is what He has given me. God is the source of hope. The point that I want to make here underneath this first title here, this first point, this first aspect is this. The point I want to make is this, is that we are dealing with a hope that is outside of us, that is given to us by God Almighty. And once again, I just want to establish this. I'm glad that it is that way. I'm glad that my hope is not based on somebody that is in this room, because you have the ability to let me down just as well as I have the ability to let you down. You ever been let down by a person before? It happens. Wouldn't it be a shame that one day you woke up and God said, all right, today your whole entire futuristic eternal hope is going to be on your pastor and him alone. Don't put that pressure on me. Please don't do that. I wouldn't want that pressure to be on you or anybody in this room. I'm glad I wake up tomorrow morning and I get to look to God and say, God, you're on the throne. You're the one that I'm looking to. Our hope comes from God, and it is outside of us. That brings me to my second point. Now, you said, slow down, Brother Derek. We'll be out here pretty quick. I'll slow down in a moment. I assure you, don't worry. The second point is that hope is a gift of grace. Once again, this is something that is elementary, but nevertheless, we need to get this. It is a gift of grace. Hope is this gift, like every other aspect of salvation. Forgiveness is a gift. Grace is a gift. But our hope is a gift as well. In the book of 2 Thessalonians 2 and 16, if you want the reference, this is what it says. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, has given us an everlasting consolation. He's saying He's given us an everlasting comfort is what He's saying there. And good hope through grace. That's what He's saying. He's given us several different gifts here. Notice this. Notice it says, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the one that is alive, the one that is at the right hand of the Father, and God, even our Heavenly Father, which has loved us. Aren't you glad He loves us? Yeah. Notice what He's done. He has given us everlasting comfort. I have comfort here tonight. You have comfort here tonight. Regardless of your situation, you have comfort. Not only has He given you everlasting comfort, but He's also given you good hope through grace. So that lets me know right there that there's a lot about this. There's a lot that could be said about this benediction here in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 16, this prayer. But let's just pull this out right here and understand what Paul is saying. God has given us eternal comfort, but He's also given us good hope by grace. It is not something that you deserved initially. You didn't deserve the hope that you have. It is not something that you have earned by good merit. That's not how this works, brothers and sisters. We're justified by faith alone. When I get born again, yes, are there faith and works? Is there things that we do? Of course there is. Do we believe in living a good, godly life? Of course we do. But that's not what has secured my hope in God. What has secured my hope in God is that one day God looked down at me as a miserable sinner, and as I asked Him to come into my heart, and even before I did that, He convicted me to do so. I gave my life to Christ, and He gave me all of these different benefits. Amen. And there's some things in life that even though it's one gift, it has several different benefits to that gift which is given you. And that is what salvation is. This comes in the initial package. Amen. This isn't an upgrade that you get 50 years up the road. This isn't something that you add to if you have enough money. This isn't a nice accessory like you get on your vehicle that, you know, you go out there and I've been amazed before. I go out there and look at a vehicle and they have a base price. I said, well, that ain't too bad. Well, then all of a sudden there's 50 things under that, and they say after all these different accessories, this is not the base price anymore. It says you've got to add this, you know. I'm fine with roll down windows if they even make them things anymore. You know, that's the base model. That's what it is. I'm glad that when you got saved, that God didn't just give you a base salvation. And if you're holy enough or if you're righteous enough later on, all this will be added to you. No, He said, here it is. He laid it on you. Amen. You ever heard it says treasuries are pouring gifts upon somebody. That's what happened at you at salvation. This is an initial gift of grace. grace. Amen. This is something that is given not just to the perfect person or the righteous person, even though it's a part of salvation, not to the person that was born in the right lineage, but this is purely by grace. Our hope comes from God. It's given by grace, which means it is utterly unearned, unmerited, and undeserved. Amen. Now, there's some people that grasp this more than somebody else, but grace gave us hope. As you find it in verse 81 and also in verse 114 of Psalms 119. And that verse goes on to say something like this: I hope in thy word. I hope in thy word. And I'm going to read to you there in Psalms 119 and 49. It says, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. He's saying, you've caused me. When I read the Bible, it causes me to have hope in God. Brother Derek, what should I do to fortify or increase my understanding of my Christian hope? I'll tell you a good place to start. Read your Bible. You read that Bible, you'll have hope. You'll come upon verse after verse. Psalms 119 and 81. Notice what the writer says. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. My hope in thy word. Psalms 119 and 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. I like that verse. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Brothers and sisters, you need to hope in the word of God that is given to you. Read the Bible. Let him increase your hope meter, if you don't mind me putting it that way. If your hope meter's on empty tonight, get in the word this week. Let God increase the hope within your life. Romans 5:15 and 4 says, for whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. What is he saying there? He's saying this was written aforetime, before. It was written for us. Why? So that we might have patience and comfort of the scriptures, that we might have hope. They say, and I have actually practiced this a few times. When somebody is severely sick or somebody has a terminal disease, it is a fact that anybody that is a believer finds ultimate hope, not only through prayers, they are important, but they find great hope in the scriptures. I've sat beside my grandfather when he was dying from pancreatic cancer. And he didn't understand, and I've shared this with you before, but before his sickness, even though he was a Christian, I wouldn't label him as the strongest Christian. There was areas of growth in his life that he needed in his life. But I learned this. In his sickness, he evermore turned to the Lord. And I would go over there as a young, I wasn't even married at that time. I would get off work and I would drive by my grandfather's house each afternoon. I would try to do this about 3 times a week. And there, he would sit there in that recliner. Many days I would walk in, how tormented he would be, as pancreatic cancer is a very painful disease. And I witnessed that in his life. But there I would take a Bible and I would open it up sitting beside that recliner. And many times as I am reading the scriptures, I would watch as he would weep and cry. And there before I left that day, my agenda and my goal was this: let him have a better vision of your hope, Lord. How can I transmit that to a sick man that is there knowing that he's going to die within a few months and there's nothing that they can do for him? How can I transmit that to him? And God would echo it again and time again in our spirit. It's through the scriptures and the Bible that we can establish hope in people. Brother Derek, why don't you preach the Bible? It brings hope. If I was up here tonight preaching from Webster's Dictionary, I don't know how hopeful that would be. It changes every year. They add words. If I was up here reading some sort of a novel or something to you, I doubt you would even hear, you know, I doubt you would sit around too long to sit here and let me read a book to you every evening or every Sunday. No, but why do you come here and allow me as a minister and allow other ministers as well over the years and in the future? What are you doing? We come here because we know the Bible gives us hope. If you want to understand hope, you go to the Word of God. That's what you learn about your hope. If your hope is clearly defined in Scripture, I have hope in thy word, as the psalmist says. There is comfort and encouragement. Number four here this evening, our hope is reasonable. Our hope is not an irrational thing. Our hope is not determined by some fortune cookie that you open one day. You ever open them fortune cookies? And if you don't believe in opening fortune cookies, I'm sorry. I don't believe them. I guess it's just fun to do so. I've opened them up before and it says, I've read all sorts of things before, but it had no application to my life. Matter of fact, I was like, what is this thing even talking about? Aren't you glad life isn't like that? That you're living from one fortune cookie to another? One wise proverb to another made by man, but no, sir, it is not determined by looking at the stars like some people do. Aren't you glad that you don't have to wake up in the evenings and wait to see the stars to determine your future? It's not determined by a psychic, and I don't understand that to this day. There's some around here. I couldn't even tell you where they are, but I'm driving down the road sometimes. I think it's off Jefferson. It says up there, psychic, come in getting your fortune read. I said, the place even looks creepy. Wouldn't walk in there and tell the woman to read my fortune. Why is that? Because that's just a mere person. They have no ultimate ability to give me Christian hope. So it's not determined by the stars or psychic network and all these different things. It is determined by God and His Word. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So what that's saying there is this, as I mentioned this morning, when somebody comes to me and says, what do you think is going to happen in this world, Brother Derek? What is your future? I can look back at them and give them a biblical answer, and they'll say something like this, well, how do you know that's going to happen? The Bible tells me so. Flip the question. Ask them, what's going to happen in your future? And many times they have such uncertainty. Look, I can't tell you everything about this week. There's things I've got planned. But I can tell you my ultimate destination is everything's going to be all right in Christ Jesus. Fifthly, our hope is secured by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'll read you a verse in a second. But somebody will say something like this, well, sure, you think you're going to die and rise again, right? And you would say, right. One day I'm going to die, and I have a blessed hope that I'm going to rise again. And they would say something like this, well, do you know anybody who's done that? And I would answer, yes. Amen. Yes. Do you know him personally? Yes. Have you ever met him? Yes, in a sense I have. Do you talk to him? Yes, all of the time. Who is he? His name is Jesus Christ. I have hope. Why? Because he, as a forerunner, has already done this. He came back from the grave. His record is clear. Over 500 people at one time saw him on one occasion. His disciples saw him. They talked with him. He suffered. He rose from the grave. So we have a blessed hope. And as I read to you this morning, we have a lively hope in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. This stuff is reasonable. I believe it. Now, to a world that's not born again, they think this is irrational. You know, on Tuesday when we come here and we'll celebrate the life of Brother Carl, some people think that is the way that we do things. I've heard them say things like this. That just don't make any sense. What are you celebrating? We're celebrating the fact that a man has lived a good life. And he has a blessed hope. Listen to what one Canadian scientist said years ago. And this is an exact quote from his book. He said, in searching for a religion, I only asked two questions. This man was trying to find a religion. He asked two questions. Question number one, has anybody conquered death? Question number two, did he make a way for me to do it? This is in his writings. He said, I searched the religions of the world. He said, I found the Buddhist tomb occupied and Muhammad's tomb occupied and so forth and so on. I came to Jesus' tomb and it was empty and I opened the New Testament and he said, because I live, you shall live also. And my quest was over. I like that. Has anybody conquered death? Yes. That's important, isn't it? But even more important to you as an individual, has he made a way for me to do it? Yes. That is the Christian hope. So here this evening, yes, he's conquered death. What do you do? Even kids will tell you. I don't understand it all. But kids believe. They ask questions or, You know, are you Superman? Do you have the strength? And they have all these people they look at and they say, man, what makes Superman so great? You can't kill him. So when look at Jesus Christ, he died, he got up from the grave. What do? And this is in a spiritual sense. You bow down to him and you make him Lord of your life. There's nobody else that have done such a thing. Number six, it is confirmed by the Holy Ghost. Romans 15 and 13. Now may the God of hope. I like that. I could stop right there and we could go home and we could rejoice. Now the God of hope goes on to say, fill you with all joy and peace in believing in order that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. So notice this, you're going to abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now this is very practical and please do listen. Every day that you read the Bible, everybody with me? It helps you to understand your hope. I read this and I understand my hope. But you go through a crisis, and how many knows it's tough when everything's not going right? Even though you read it and you understand it, at that present moment, you need somebody to help you apply that to your life. Who helps you apply that to your life? The Holy Ghost. There's times, brothers and sisters, if you were to be honest, if I was to be honest, in the midst of that tragedy or trial or problem, it was hard to get clear vision. You even know the Bible. But all of a sudden, as you get down to pray, you feel something testifying. You feel an energy in you, and you feel something empowering you to endure the suffering in your hope. That is the combination of knowledge of the Scripture and the energizing power of the Holy Ghost. It sustains a person in their dilemmas. So I have the Bible, but I also have a lively hope in the fact that the Holy Ghost is here to help me. Notice what it says there. That you will abound in hope. That means like a cluster of grapes that are about to burst. You know, every now and then, my wife, we like grapes at the house, and my children do as well. But every now and then, she'll get some grapes, and I'll say, sweetie, just ain't much to them. They're sour, they're just not much to them. But every now and then, it's them Costco grapes. Them good ones. Now, if you like BJ's, I'm sure they have them there as well. And I'm sure they got them at Walmart. I'm not trying to be biased. But every now and then you eat a grape, and next thing you know, I've done ate a whole cluster of them. And I guess it's all right to eat a whole cluster of grapes. I've never checked, but I guess that's all right. A glutton on grapes. That's what they would do in the old days. But nevertheless, I said, man, them things are just right. They're good. They're ripe. They're sweet. And that's what this picture is right here, that we are to abound in hope. Are you a grape or a raisin? I've actually preached that before. I've had a bag of raisins and a bag of grapes, and I've laid them on a table. I said, which one are you tonight? Are you a grape or a raisin? Are you abounding in hope? Are you withered up? And raisins, I guess if you like them, they're good for you too. But they're not as good as the juicy grapes in my opinion. But I know as a Christian how it applies there. You much rather be a grape than a raisin in that sense. Number seven, let's look at this. And this is very, very important right here. Our Christian hope defends us against the attacks of Satan. Satan wants us to doubt God, to question God. And notice what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 8. It says that we have a helmet that is the hope of our salvation. The devil loves when you have no hope. He loves when he can come to your bedside and he can dictate in your mind what's going on in your thoughts. He loves when you don't read that Bible or you don't pray and you don't let the Holy Ghost testify to you. But you've got to put on the helmet of salvation, which is our hope. Satan comes, he smashes us with his crushing blows of doubt. And we can stand there and defend ourselves. And we can remind the devil, I've got hope. And don't stop there and say, devil, you don't. I'm going to say it again. Devil, I've got hope. And devil, I've read the back of the book. It ain't looking too good for you. Yes, you may fight me, but look, I have an anchor
that is outside of me, and right now the Spirit is energizing me, and devil, you come here with your lies and your doubt, and I can pull on the chain of my anchor, everything's fine. Give yours a pull, devil. Oh, you don't have one. Uh-oh. Leave. Because I've got a helmet of salvation, which is my hope. Don't let the devil beat you up every day. You know, the old saying is, you know, gotta get the monkey off your back. Well, quit carrying him around. How did he get up there? I'm not the smartest man in the world, but there was a monkey on your back, you know it. I think you have all authority and right. Get him off your back. If the devil's on your back, don't give him a free ride. At least let him walk. If he's going to tempt you and fight you, make there be effort there. Don't give him a free ride. No, sir. Let him know once again, there's no hope for you, devil. I have a blessed hope. He's jealous. Oh, he's jealous. He loves the fact. I mean, he does not love the fact where you're going. And he don't like the fact that God has designed this so cleverly and perfectly that if you stay in Christ, everything's going to work out just fine. Remind him he has no hope. Number 8, our hope is confirmed through trials. Now that sounds contradictory, don't it? I could even say that our hope is strengthened through trials. The more you go through trials, the more you have the opportunity to exercise your hope. And the more you exercise that hope, the stronger that it gets. And the stronger that it gets, the more you are able to endure greater suffering later on in life. When you go through something, don't just look to get out of it. But why don't you go ahead and exercise a little bit while you're there? Say, you know what, God, I'm going to believe you today. I know I've shared this quote with you before, but there was a lady, and I forget the name of the book. I can give you a reference later if you're interested. But at 17 years old, she dived into a shallow end of the pool, broke her neck, and she became a quadriplegic the rest of her life. And she wrote these words in the hospital after so many months of sitting there in misery. She said, I will not let this hospital room be a prison, but I will let it be a gymnasium for my soul. Now, I know I need to work out more physically. But guess what? Spiritually, trials are a good place to exercise your faith and your hope. So it's confirmed through trials. So as we go through trials, as life escalates in its troubles, and can I remind you tonight, troubles are coming. I'd like to tell you they were not. They are coming. Our hope gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And we can live to the place that we finally say, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Far better is it for me to depart and to be with Him than to live in this world. I believe you get there. I believe Brother Carl was there. He told me, I'm ready to go be with the Lord. I'm ready to go be with the Lord. You said, Brother Derek, you're going to have nothing to say on Tuesday. I'll find something. I'll find something. Number 9, our hope produces joy. I'm getting to the end of this thing. Our hope produces joy even in the midst of sorrow. It produces songs in the night. Psalms 146 says this, how blessed and how happy is he whose help is in God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. What is he saying there? How happy I am to have my hope in the God of heaven. You can be happy here tonight. You can be happy. People look at us sometimes and they wonder about our happiness in Christ. But the difference is in Christian joy and happiness, the world's happiness is tied to happenings, but our joy is deep and it is concrete. Number 10, and then some closing thoughts. Our hope is fulfilled in Christ's return. You say, well, wait a minute. Isn't our hope fulfilled when we die? Part of it. Part of it. But no, it's in a large measure fulfilled, but not completely. When you die, your body goes into the grave, It goes into the dust. It becomes dust again. And your spirit goes to be with the Lord. So what you have in heaven now is the spirit of a just man or woman made perfect. According to Hebrews chapter 12, the spirits are there. The bodies have not been raised yet. And they are awaiting the blessed living resurrection and the rapture of the church. What happens? The trumpet's going to blow. The angel shouts, the dead in Christ rise. And then, well, their spirit's already with the Lord. And then all of a sudden there's a reuniting there. That is the ultimate blessed hope. This body right here doesn't give me the greatest amount of hope on this side of heaven. I've already told you this morning. But just to make you laugh a little more, it's pitiful what this human body will do. It's going down, 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 and it continues to go down. I have relatives that are extremely healthy, and now they're in their mid-60s, going on 70, and their body, they've ate pumpkin seeds and everything else their whole life. They wouldn't even drink tap water. They got special water machines and filters, and they order certain salads from certain places, and man, they got it all outlined, and they tell us this, and I've even had one guy, he researched the community and tell you why there's cancer around here, and they tell me all these different things, how to be healthy, 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 but every time I see him, every other family reunion, I'm like, oh, hey, you're looking a little older. I may not tell them that, but I sure am thinking it. And guess what? They let me know if I have expanded my borders or anything else. Don't you love family reunions? You go there and you're just honest with your family. And that's why you only do it once a year. And you know, you make yourself go to that one. You may enjoy yours a little more. But this is the reality of this. But I'm glad to know one day I get to have a new body. And so do you. You're talking about a makeover. Man, our society thrives on that. Makeover. You know, they do all these different things and cosmetics, all these things, trying to dress it up, trying to make it look this way. You're still getting older. It doesn't matter. But one day we're going to have a new body. It's going to be a glorious body. It's going to be like His own. What an amazing concept. So you're going to get a resurrected body at that time. The resurrected body comes up from the grave, joins the Spirit. That is the fullness of our hope. That's the redemption of the body that we talked about this morning in Romans chapter 8. So our hope is fulfilled in Christ's return. That's the very important theme of Scripture. We're still looking to the future for this ultimate hope to be fulfilled. So if we really live in hope, according to what Paul said to Timothy, we should love His appearing. We should love it. Church, He's going to come again. I know we talk about it, and sometimes being so familiar with the rapture, I think sometimes we may lose the sense of urgency and reality that's in that. But there's going to be a resurrection. And there's going to be a rapture. Titus 2 and 13, looking for the blessed hope in the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus. And can we say with John, even so, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. Even so, Lord, come. Well, there's additional points I will spare you tonight, but there's basically this. How, on the practical side of it, Brother Derek, how do we live this hope out in this world? Because I've already told you, now follow me, this hope is for believers. This hope is for believers. The sinner is not entitled to this. But Brother Derek, how do I keep this Christian hope? How can I do it? Number one, it tells us in 1 John, by abiding in Him. If you're not serving the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not have access to this hope. But if you abide in Christ, I want you to get this part too. The King has a keeper called the Holy Ghost. And by your abiding, the Spirit of God can keep you in Christ if you stay submissive to Him. What is one of the great ministries of the Holy Ghost? It is to keep us on the right track by chastenings, by reminding you, by the groanings that cannot be uttered. We have a blessed hope in Christ Jesus. Stand to your feet this evening. Stand to your feet. I'll share this with you here this evening. And once again,
I've just been so enamored by Christian hope this week. I've been blessed by it. I have. Years ago, as a young minister, I think, I know I share stories with you sometimes here several times, but Brother Eddie assured me that if I don't share it within the same year, a lot of times you don't remember it. I don't know how true that is, which may be very true because I don't remember telling them, which is bad. That's why I make notes and I have to go back, and every now and then I'll have a thought and I'll go on our search engine or our website and I'll say, have I ever preached that before? I have. Last month, I'm just kidding. It's usually further back than that. But I was called one time. I had a friend, a relative, I guess he's a distant cousin, named Ricky. He was a man that was a homosexual who came down with a brain tumor and was dying. And now as the story comes back to my mind, I remember feeling compelled in my spirit to go pray for him. And I remember calling up his mother. He still lived at his mother's house. And she wouldn't let me go see him. And I said, well, I'd like to pray with him. She said, I don't bother him. You know, he's okay. And he had no history in church at all, and she didn't either. And so I remember kept calling. I look back now, I guess being a young preacher, I was amazed how many times I called that woman. I don't even know if I would do that. I probably need to be more sensitive now. But I called her and called her. I said, I really feel like I need to pray for him. One day she let me back there, and I remember going to pray for Ricky, and I didn't feel the assurance that we had prayed and it was effective. But about a month down the road, his mother called me and said, do you mind coming to pray for Ricky? And I said, well, of course. I went in there and I remember seeing a man laying on his deathbed. And that was one of the first times, I guess, I looked into the eyes of a man who had no hope. No hope in the sense, could he have gotten saved? Yes. But I remember going there to talk to him and he was unresponsive. He was staring out in distance. And I remember telling him, Ricky, I want to pray for you. Ricky, you need to give your life to Christ. And at that moment, and only God knows why, I don't know if later on if there was some sort of event that happened in his life, that was one of the first times I looked into the eyes of a man where I felt like in my own spirit, he was on the edge of eternity, leaving this world without any hope. They had a TV playing in the background. He wouldn't even look at the TV. It was just a blank, distant stare. I'll never forget that because I thought to myself, that would be a bad place to be. It would be. And I know some of you could probably share a testimony similar or something like that. But it does my heart good when I have sat there and looked at some of my grandfathers and seen hope. I know I've preached several funerals since I've been here. I've looked at the eyes of several and seen hope. I just recently looked in the eyes of Brother Carl and you see hope. I thank God for a theology of hope. We have a blessed hope in Christ Jesus. I look around tonight. This is our faithful group here. I thank you for being here. And I know I may not have added nothing maybe new tonight to your theology. But what I hope I've done, I hope I've strengthened it. And what I'm going to pray in closing, I'm going to ask the Holy Ghost to come by and to re-energize our hearts. That no matter what comes your way, church, something's coming your way. It is. Something's coming your way. I'd like to tell you it wasn't. But my wife even tells me sometimes, when we're about to travel somewhere, if we're leaving the kids, or I always look at my wife, I say, we need to figure out what we would do with the kids if we died. She said, why are we talking this way? Because the sense is, things happen all the time. I don't know what the future holds for you in the next immediate future, as far as the ins and outs of everything, but I can promise you this, if you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. You're going to make it. If you're here tonight, you're going to make it. Tell yourself and remind yourself, hope thou in God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, today I've delivered this message on Christian hope. It is simple, but God, I hope, Lord Jesus, that we have felt the anchor a little stronger. Felt the anchor a little stronger. Lord Jesus, touch your people. God, help us, God, to just serve you, Lord, to be faithful.
God, we have an anchor that's steadfast and sure. Oh, there's one that's made a way for us behind the veil, Lord Jesus. And God, we know that it comes from God. We know that it's a gift of grace. We know that it's defined by Scripture. We know that it's reasonable. We know it's anchored in His resurrection, Lord Jesus. It's confirmed by the Holy Spirit. It's a defense against the enemy. It helps us through our trials. It helps us produce joy, Lord Father. But we're looking for the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank God for a blessed hope. Thank God for a blessed hope. We love you, Lord, here today. God, thank you for it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord, here today. We thank you.